The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. Hope you all had a fabulous weekend. My guy, Freddie Coleman, it has been way too long, my friend. So good to see you. Giving you a hug from a distance, host of Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. We're going to have some fun. And, of course, the one and only Monday Night Football's Lewis Riddick. Gentlemen, guess where we're starting? The multi-million dollar question. Will Aaron, are you sick of it yet? Will Aaron Rodgers report to Packers camp? But we do have a deadline because it goes down tomorrow. So maybe his IG will give you a clue, or maybe it'll just confuse you even more like it did me. So Rodgers and Davante Adams both posting this pic of Scottie Pippen and MJ from The Last Dance. Now, in the past, Rodgers has referenced the parallels between the toxic relationship between Jordan and his former GM, Jerry Krause, to his situation with his GM. We do know this, however. The reigning NFL MVP went through his normal offseason training regimen with Proactive Sports. While it remains unknown whether he will return to camp there, a representative from Proactive Sports Performance said Rodgers is working and he's ready for football. Freddie, you are up first.
He's ready for football, and I get the whole Last Dance trying to make that work, Molly and Lewis, but I will say this about Aaron Rodgers. Of course he's going to play, and here's why. He's owed $14.7 million if he plays this year, and he's on a two-year contract after that where he's going to get $25 million per year. He may not like Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, the president and general manager respectively, but he does like his teammates, and he loves the town of Green Bay, and he loves the Packer fans base. He's not going to be there on time tomorrow. I don't have any doubt about that, but Aaron Rodgers understands celebrity. He understands his brand. He knows when he comes in, there's going to be a lot of fanfare. There's going to be a lot of pomp and circumstance, and that's exactly what he wants. It's all about Aaron Rodgers versus the Green Bay Packers, and he believes he's going to win this battle. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. He's going to play one last year. This will be his last dance with the Green Bay Packers. And in the next season, before next season, he's going to force his way out of Green Bay. But he knows they're this close to a Super Bowl championship because they were that close last year and the year before. You're not going to just go away from that and leave your teammates just because things are not working well, the general manager, the president, two guys that he can't stand. So I firmly believe he comes back for one year, one last year, one last dance with the Green Bay Packers. But then after that, that's going to be it for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers staying together.
Lou, talk to me.
Yeah, it's next level trolling, Molly. It really is. I mean, Aaron's real good at this, man. He's real good at this. You know, Tom Brady's good at it. These guys put a lot of thought into these kind of things. And you would never associate Aaron with someone who isn't very calculated. And I think he is sending a message, although it can be interpreted different ways with that picture with him and Devontae, you know, both at the same time putting on Instagram this Last Dance, you know, type of reference. But look, I'm with Freddie in this regard, all right, if we just completely boil it down. I don't think he shows up on time. I don't think there's really any benefit to him showing up on time right out of the gate after everything that's happened this offseason. I just don't see him giving them that kind of satisfaction to say, look, I put you guys through all this offseason. I really made it known through, you know, secondhand sources that I was that disappointed, and then I'm just going to show up on time. I don't care how much he loves his teammates and loves Green Bay and wants to play football. I think he's also a intensely principled person in his own right in terms of he believes what his gripes are very, very, very legitimate and personal to him, and he has a point to prove to this organization. Now, when it gets to the regular season and when it gets to the amount of money that he can lose and when it gets to the fact that, you know, when you're in your mid-30s, late-30s, that every year becomes even more and more critical because you don't know how many more you have left, I think that's something that Aaron, without a doubt, is very aware of. And I'm sure he doesn't want to sit out a year and take it to the nuclear option, so to speak, of retiring and holding out all year long, although I wouldn't put it past him. I think he does play maybe in 2021 for the Packers and force his way out next year. But look, he is going to make this uncomfortable for them because this has become intensely, intensely personal. And I think all of us can relate to that in some form or fashion. That once things get personal, you don't care what conventional wisdom says. When you have a point to prove, you're going to prove it. And this guy's trying to prove it right now.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to figure out what point he's trying to prove with that IG post? Because clearly it is calculated, but you really can you can take it either way. So one last dance, one last year, or it's all over. Now we bring in the newest member of our ESPN family, Sam Acho, former NFL linebacker, VP of the Players Association. So good to have you, sir. Where are you on this? Do you think we're going to see him play in Green Bay this season? He would need to report to camp tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to report to camp number one, nor will he play in Green Bay this season. Let's just look at the subliminal messages that are being sent, right? This is a social media war. Last week, Stephen A. tweeted out that Aaron Rodgers has been dismissed. He's been disrespected, all these things. And you know who retweeted that tweet? Shailene Woodley. You know who Shailene Woodley is outside of a star of the Divergent and the Allegiant series? She's also Aaron Rodgers' fiance. She's the closest person to Aaron Rodgers. Just a few days ago, there was another tweet on social media after the Milwaukee Bucks won the NBA championship. You know who tweeted out? Aaron Rodgers. What did he say? He named the GM of the Bucks by name and lauded his incredible moves. You know what else happened like we talked about just now? This IG time story, right? I'm 30-something years old, so I'm in this whole millennial Twitter, social media. This is a social media war, and Aaron Rodgers understands he has no options monetarily, so he's going to try to put as much pressure as possible on the Green Bay Packers. Will he show up to camp? No, he will not. Will he play for Green Bay this season? The only way he will play, the only way Aaron Rodgers will play for Green Bay this season is if they give him the keys to that roster, if they give him decision-making ability on who's on the team, and also if they give him the ability to call his own plays. Every other superstar quarterback, the Tom Brady's of the world, the Peyton Manning's of the world, the Drew Brees's of the world, all them got the keys. Y'all know that song, I got the keys, keys, keys? Uh-huh. They have the keys. They can decide whatever they want to do. They're calling their own plays. They're deciding who's on the roster. You don't think that Aaron Rodgers is hanging out with Tom Brady and Tom's like, yeah, man, I chose my own players. I choose my own plays. I figured out. Aaron Rodgers does not have that respect. They have not given him the keys. And unless he gets those keys, he will not play in Green Bay this season, point blank, period.
He's going to play in the NFL because here's the deal. He does have the keys to the kingdom when it comes to Matt LaFleur, because Matt LaFleur gives him carte blanche to change plays, the line of scrimmage, and do whatever he wants. Sam, I hear you from the standpoint of personnel. It's the O-line by Bill Parcells that he wants the groceries if he's going to cook in the kitchen. That's never going to work in Green Bay. They didn't let Brett Favre have the keys to the kingdom. They didn't let Bart Starr have the keys to the kingdom. They're not going to let that happen with Aaron Rodgers. But in terms of him, whatever his gripes are, and Sam, you said it, and Lewis, you said it, whatever it is, we should all have a gripe with our job. We went to the NFC Championship game in back-to-back years. We should all be that dissatisfied with our job being the quarterback of a football team. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers playing for a 6-10 team that is disintegrated around him. We're talking about a guy that last year, if he made a couple of plays in the second half and didn't throw a couple of interceptions, we'd be talking about the Green Bay Packers, not in the NFC Championship game, but in the Super Bowl. So whatever gripe he has with Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, the president and general manager respectively, I understand that. But let's get rid of this misnomer that he does not have power of terms of having the kind of power that a quarterback is looking for when it comes to having his own plays and everything like that. He has that power in Green Bay, but he's never going to get NBA player power. The NFL is never going to allow anybody to have that kind of power. You can have a say, you may believe you have a say, but you're never going to get that kind of stroke that NBA players have. That's what Aaron Rodgers wants. He wants what Kevin Durant has. He wants what LeBron James has. But NFL owners from that old boy network, that old boy Aaron Rodgers is not going to get that kind of power. He's got to take what he can get, because if he thinks he's going to get it somewhere else, that's not going to be likely no matter when he pushes himself out of Green Bay.
Right, but check this out. So you say that Aaron Rodgers has the keys. You say that Aaron Rodgers has all the control. But if he has all the control of the roster, if he has all the control of the plays, then what is there to gripe about, number one? So if that's the case, if he has all the control of the plays that he calls, what is he griping about? If he has all the control of the roster, then what is he upset about, right?
So what is he upset about then?
Point
what is he upset
two,
about?
Point number two, because he doesn't have control. He doesn't have control, right?
I played against New Orleans and I trained
with guys who played in New Orleans with Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. So they said, no, Drew Brees literally gets two plays. He gets two plays, and then out of those two plays, he gets to pick what he wants to call. It's not that way in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur has a system that he's trying to build, and I would say it's been successful, right?
Exactly.
13-3 the last 2 years. NFC Championship the last 2 years. The roster around Green Bay is not disintegrating by any means. If anything, they're building up that roster. Let's not forget, the week before, like, we're talking about the NFC Championship game. Who had three interceptions against Tom Brady? It was the Green Bay Packers defense, right? Who had an opportunity with 2 minutes and 12 seconds left at the 8-yard line at 3rd and 8 to run into the end zone and go take the lead? It was Aaron Rodgers. And yes, we talk about the field goal that was kicked and the bad decision, but Aaron Rodgers had an opportunity. The Green Bay Packers had an opportunity. Their roster's not disintegrating. Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Kevin King, Zaire Alexander on the defense. Offensively, you got one of the best wide receivers in the game and some beasts at running back. You have the best left tackle. The roster is there. The team is there. The one thing that Aaron Rodgers does not have is control of the roster, yeah, like Tom Brady, like Drew Brees, and like Peyton Manning.
Let me get in here 1 second. Lou, I want you to be able to respond to the guys, but I also wanted to get to this question too. Would you blow the team up at this point? If you're looking ahead and would you blow it up knowing that you're going to lose them after a year?
No, I wouldn't blow it up. No, I would not do that. Look, from a team building standpoint, look, I think you got to look at this objectively. All right, look, they have one of the best. They've had one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. They have one of the best running backs, really one of the best 1-2 punches at running back. They've had one of the best 1-2 punches, and they will have one of the best, you know, running back rooms in the NFL going forward. They've had a number one wide receiver. They've had a very good, productive tight end. On the defensive side, they have really added, they've tried to add some pieces at the key positions, at pass rusher, at corner in particular. They need help at linebacker. They need help at the other corner position, and continue to build out the safety position, although they have some good playmakers there too. So I wouldn't blow this roster up. This isn't a matter of, you know, does it have cracks in its foundation and it's not good enough? No, that's not the issue here. And even with Aaron, and having talked to him last year for Monday Night Football, see the relationship and how it's grown between him and Matt LaFleur, and how much better it made Aaron just this past year as him and Matt became much more intertwined and interconnected as far as the play calling and what would take this team to another level and take Aaron's game to another level. No one can argue that they are good for each other. So, and I think he understands that. He's admitted that. He has no problem with the coaching staff. He has no problem with his teammates. He has no problem with the city. He is. Look, obviously, in the NFC Championship game, would he probably have liked for him to have more control in that game and put it on him? Sure. Of course. I mean, I think every quarterback of his DNA would have liked to have been able to decide that outcome more so than he was able to. But this is what it comes down to. And I think Aaron has made this very, very clear, and people who have either worked for Green Bay or who know Aaron or who know Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst know this too. He does not like them, the front office, and how they have treated people in the past, how they have treated necessarily him as far as maybe his input into the building of this football team, certain pieces here and there that he feels as though would help put them over the top. And it seems like he feels as though they don't give him the time of day that other teams give their quarterbacks. And I couldn't – look, when it gets personal like this, it's over. It's just over for him. And when you have as much money as he has in the bank, your mindset changes. It's not the same as the rest of us sitting here going, oh, I'd love to be in Green Bay. I mean, they have a great roster. Who would not want to play for one of the most storied franchises in the NFL? Aaron has a lot of money. He's done a lot of stuff. He can take these hardline stances now. He's in a much different position than many, 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 many other players. He can see this through to the end if he wants to. That's why it would not surprise me if he takes the nuclear option and doesn't play. It wouldn't surprise me one single bit.
All right, last thoughts here. Yeah, Sam and then Freddie.
I wouldn't be surprised either. So just to that point, right, I love the point that Lewis just made about Aaron Rodgers is in a different stratosphere than everyone else. Even last year when there was conversations, right, I'm the vice president of the NFL Players Association. We were negotiating a collective bargaining agreement. There were conversations of a 17th game. What does an extra game mean? For many players, that's an extra check. A lot of players would be happy about that. 50 or 60% of players are making minimum salaries. An extra check, that's an extra $500,000, $600,000, $700,000. Aaron Rodgers would get an extra million or so. He doesn't want it. He doesn't need it. He's made enough money. So this is about him getting the control that he wants, that he does not have, that he probably will not get, because the Green Bay Packers, to their credit, they've been 13-3 the last 2 years. They've been in the NFC Championship the last 2 years. They're doing something right. Matt LaFleur is doing something right. They need Aaron Rodgers there, but they're not going to get him.
To bring some memory to everybody's memory on this one, he was the MVP last year. We're not talking about a guy in decline. We're not talking about an organization in decline. Lewis and Sam, I hear you guys. When it gets really personal, what did our man Nino Brown say? Business, B, never personal. This is the other side of that when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. But if he's looking for a control to go somewhere else, then he's going to have that control. In our National Football League, it is not about to happen. A team will be glad to bring him in, but whatever control he's looking for, he is not going to find in Green Bay, and he's not going to find it anywhere else in the NFL.
Yeah, not only did he have a career year, Devontae Adams did as well, 18 touchdowns. Lewis Riddick, thank you kindly, sir. We will talk to you later. We'll keep rolling here, guys.
Okay.
To Tokyo we go. So a 25-game Olympic winning streak for the U.S. is over, ending Sunday when France closed the game on a 16-2 run to beat the Americans 83-76 in the Tokyo Games. Evan Fournier's three-pointer off a broken play with just under a minute left put France ahead for good as the Americans simply fell apart in the final minutes. Here's Drew Holiday, fresh off winning a ring. As for a gold, we'll see.
This is the first time we played together, so a lot of adversity, and I feel like this is just something that we do a lot, and we'll accomplish this too, just like we've accomplished everything before. But we're smart players. Smart players, great character, and we'll figure it out these next two.
All right, so after the game, Francis Fournier said this: they're better individually, but they can be beaten as a team. Shady. Acho, who's most to blame for the Team USA loss?
Well, hands down, it's got to be France, because France at this point is just better. Let's not forget, in the 2019 FIBA World Championship, who beat the U.S.? France. So who's got five NBA players on their roster? France. Who's got guys who are big and physical? France. France right now at this point is better. And Rudy Gobert said it best at the end of the game as well. He said, we're not surprised. We're not surprised. This is step one, but we're not going to be satisfied until we have that thing hanging around our neck, which is a gold medal. So France is at this point better than the United States at this game. It's a different game. This isn't the NBA. There are 10-minute quarters. Fouls are called differently. Even the way the game is played is called differently, right? You only have five fouls, not six. You can move the ball off the rim, even though it would be goaltending in the NBA. This is a different game. And France at this point, they're like the bad guys. I love Fournier's response. He says, they're better individually, but we are better as a team. And I love that mindset that France has. So we should not be surprised at this point. We're sitting here saying, how did we lose? The last eight games that the United States has played with NBA players, we're 3-5. So let's stop being surprised. France at this point is the better team, and they've got their eyes on the gold.
It's a fair point when it comes to France, Sam, but to me, this loss on Greg Popovich more than France, because we're not having this conversation if the United States played any kind of defense and blocked out guys on the boards. I mean, for crying out loud, it looked like a layup line because they weren't blocking out Rudy Gobert and also Fournier, who's getting to the rim, and then Evan Fournier was knocking down shots in the second half. He hasn't played that well in the NBA, much less in an international competition. But if you're Greg Popovich, he's trying to be the San Antonio Spurs of international basketball, and that is flat out not going to work. It is a fair point when you mention the last eight games involving international competition. They're 3-5, and that's all in the watch of Greg Popovich since he was named coach of the USA national teams in 2017. But when you have a bunch of dudes on your basketball team named Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Jason Tatum, it is completely unconscionable that you allow a team in France to outscore you 16-2. So Greg Popovich better figure this out, that it's all about making adjustments as a coach. You can say you can put it on the players, you got to be better defensively, but it's on you, the coach, to put together a better game plan. How do you allow Rudy Gobert to just dominate you on the inside? I don't care if he's big and tall than anybody else. He doesn't do that against guys in the NBA offensively, so there's no reason for him to do that against Bam Adebayo and Draymond Green, who know how to defend him. To me, this is all on Greg Popovich. And let's be fair. If the United States had won this game, we're not having this conversation. There's no doubt about that. But because people are so stunned because everybody else has caught up to the United States. And this wasn't just a yesterday thing. Remember, this has gone back to 2004, where the United States team won the bronze medal. 2008, Spain gave them all they could in a gold medal game before the late Kobe Bryant hit great shots down the stretch. So, yeah, it's gotten to the point now that people should not be stunned when the United States loses. But it's the way they're going about it, especially yesterday, should bother anybody. And to me, that's more Greg Popovich than what France was doing. That's not to slight France. But if you're Greg Popovich, you can't try to out-NBA people or one-on-one people in international basketball. The referees aren't going to allow you to do it, and better coach teams that have been together aren't going to allow you to do that as well. To me, Greg Popovich is the most to blame for this loss because he did not make the right kind of adjustments, unlike the French coach who made those adjustments and made that work for France yesterday.
So Freddie, last I checked, maybe I'm wrong on this, right? My time might be off, but the last I checked, Greg Popovich is not out there shooting buckets. Greg Popovich is not out there playing defense. Greg Popovich is not out there trying to make passes and make hustle plays. Kevin Durant is, Zach LaVine is, Chris Middleton. These guys, obviously Chris Middleton didn't play in the second half. So he's not out there. Greg Popovich is not out there. Greg Popovich didn't have an opportunity to go take the lead with a wide open three-pointer, as you saw Kevin Durant did in the fourth quarter with less than a minute left. Greg Popovich went in the corner with a wide open three-pointer, as you saw Jrue Holiday miss with less than a minute left. Greg Popovich cannot coach hustle. You got to have guys who can hustle, guys who can get after it. And at this point, you're not seeing the United States team really believe that they want it more than other teams. France wanted it more. Look at the hustle plays by Luau Cabaret. Look at the hustle plays by Evan Fournier. Look at the hustle plays by everybody on that France roster, including Rudy Gobert. It's a different kind of game that we're watching. It's not the NBA. It's not iso ball. It's not small ball. You got some big, bad dudes on that France team, and they are dudes.
All right, tell me this, guys. Is Team USA winning gold, Freddie?
They're the most talented team still left, so they should win the gold, and I believe they're going to win the gold because I go back to what Jrue Holiday said, that we're intelligent guys, we're going to figure this out, which means that when I heard that, that was his way of saying that we're taking this out of Greg Popovich's hands, because if we don't trust that he can lead us the right way, then it's going to have to be on us. And whatever friction that could potentially be there, you got enough intelligent guys on that basketball team that'll say, we got to go out there and win it for us, because maybe we can't trust that guy to put us in the right position to make the kind of plays that we need to make. I still think they win gold, but it's going to be the players doing it, not the players and Greg Popovich.
Sam?
Yeah. I don't see the U.S. winning gold. I see France winning gold, and here's why. I love what Jrue Holiday said. He said, we're smart players. We work hard. We're physical. But you know what he didn't say? He didn't say we're the best players. He didn't say we're the most talented players. You know who's not there? LeBron James, not there. Steph Curry, not there. James Harden, not there. So, yes, they're going to work hard. Yes, they're going to be intelligent and be smart. But the best players are not actually there. Some of the best players, like Luka Doncic, are putting 47 up for Slovenia. That's what I'm saying. So the game has changed, and I think that France is the team to beat based on what they did 2 years ago and also last night.
What French premier paid you off to be a personal basketball representative for the French basketball team, Sam Macho? That's why I want to know, because it seems like all of a sudden you're changing allegiances. Are you a real American, Sam Macho? What's wrong with you?
Just watch the game. All I do is watch the game. I just watch the game. I put the film on, right? I got to watch the film. And so people would love to hear me say the U.S. is going to win. It's going to be easy. Sure. We've been saying that for 2 years. The U.S. is 3-5. I got to stop saying that. Let's start being real. Let's start watching the film, watching the games, and making adjustments.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
After refusing to receive a vaccine for COVID-19, Rick Dennison is out as a Minnesota Vikings assistant coach, sources told ESPN on Friday. Dennison had served as the Vikings offensive line slash run coach, game coordinator the past two seasons. Now, another coach in the league, New England Patriots co-offensive line coach Cole Popovich, also won't be with his team in 2021 in a decision related to the COVID-19 vaccine in NFL guidelines. League sources confirmed that to ESPN. The vaccine is required for all tier one staff, including coaches, front office executives, equipment managers, and scouts. Players not required to receive the COVID-19 vaccine but will face strict protocols during training camp and throughout the season that vaccinated players will be able to forego. So here's former tight end Ben Watson on the vaccine.
If a player does not want to get vaccinated, we will stand behind him 100%. Look, if an unvaccinated player causes any sort of outbreak, look, it should be the same as a vaccinated player. The reason why we are pitting teams club against club and talking about expenses is to force vaccinations. And so the NFLPA, again, is going to support and protect players. But we're also going to say, look, the science is there. We know that vaccinations have reduced infection rates. And so we feel good about this, but we still want you to make the choice for yourself.
Ben Watson, vice president of the NFLPA as well. So is Sam Wacho. Look who's here right now. Two-time Super Bowl champ with the Bucks and the Colts. That would be the one and only Booger McFarland. Boog, I'll get to you in a second. Acho, you're up first. Do you think this will divide the locker room, the vaccine and all that comes with it?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that the NFL's, quote-unquote, I'll put it in quotes and I'll explain why in a second, new mandates will divide the locker room because in players' minds, it's playing with their money. I'm thinking, man, if I don't get this vaccine, I might lose out on some checks. But now here's the reality of everything. Last year, and I'm a vice president of the NFL Players Association as well. I'm on the executive committee. Last year, there was a 2-year agreement put in place in regards to COVID. And so that's what we saw last year. And last year, the percentage of players getting COVID was, I think, right under 2%. Maybe it was 0.8% if I'm not mistaken. Also, if you don't want to get the vaccine this year as a player, you can do what you did last year. You can wear your mask. You can social distance. You can wear contact tracers. You can have less than 15 guys in a workout. You can wear your mask on the sideline, in the facility, on the field. So I believe that players should have a choice. But the thing is, it's almost, people call it a false choice. You think I either get the vaccine or I don't play. That's not the reality. The reality for NFL players, which right now about 75% of NFL players are vaccinated. The reality is, if you don't get the vaccine, if you make that choice to not get the vaccine, all you're choosing is to wear your mask. You're choosing to social distance and physical distance. You're choosing to wear contact tracers. You're choosing to get tested every day or every other day. So it's the exact same thing we saw last year when there was no vaccine and there was a right around a 0.8 positivity rate. And last but not least, we talk about these outbreaks between unvaccinated versus vaccinated players. Let's not forget the outbreak that happened last year in Tennessee. It wasn't caused by a player. It was caused by coaches who weren't following those protocols. And this year, coaches are required. They're required, if you're going to be a tier one staff, which is a coach, a dietitian, a strength staff, you're required to get the vaccine. And so I believe players should have that option, that choice to be able to decide. But you're not deciding on playing versus not playing. You're just deciding that you're going to wear your mask socially and physical distance and also wear your contact tracers and get tested. That's all you're choosing.
Wow, there's so much to unpack here. I think the number one thing to say is we first need to recognize that the NFL is a private entity ran by 31 owners plus what they do up in Green Bay. Okay, so now once we realize that, those ownerships and those clubs can decide how they want to run their organization. And aside from the occasional pushback from the NFLPA, the NFL pretty much does what it wants. Okay. I think the time to tackle this issue with the vaccine and how we deal with it going forward would have been last year. Yes, there was a two-year agreement place put in place, Acho, but at some point, the testing and the vaccination method should have been broached and should have been talked about. And to my knowledge, I don't know if it was, but it doesn't sound like a lot of NFL players are happy that either you A, get vaccinated, or B, you're gonna have to go through hell again, which is to fly on different planes and work out outside. I mean, there's a situation in Tampa where guys who are not vaccinated, you're not even showering with everyone else. So they're gonna make your life a living hell. Again, you have the choice. Just as you said, Archer, you have the choice to do and mask and social distances, but they're going to make your life hell compared to your teammates and what else is going on. Now, is it going to break up the locker room? Every locker room is going to be different. Every teammate is going to react. We saw DeAndre Hopkins, his post about, you know, he had to decide about his career whether or not to get vaccinated. I think what you have to do as an organization and what the league has to do, and hopefully the PA has done, is talk to our players and say, hey, guys, yes, you can decide what you want to do when it comes to the vaccine, but this vaccine is here to help us. This vaccine is here to make sure that if and when you do get COVID, guess what? It's not catastrophic as we've seen in other situations. And I think the more players will understand that, it's basically insurance. Think about it this way. This vaccine is basically insurance to the best that you can, that if you don't, that if you get it, the likelihood of you not dying from it goes up astronomically. So explain to our players that this is for your benefit. This is something that we need to do. This is something that it's going to help you. I just think that the ball was dropped a long time ago when the negotiation was had between the NFL and the NFLPA about how we're going to handle COVID, how we're going to handle the vaccine, how we're going to come out of this pandemic, because it doesn't sound like the NFLPA and its players are on the same page, because again, the NFL, this private company, is basically saying, hey, get the vaccine or we're going to make your life living hell, and you really can't do anything but choose one of those two choices.
Let's get to the crux of this, guys. You guys know this from playing in the NFL. The NFL owners will do everything they can to put this on the players, at the players' feet, because they made that decision last week saying, hey, guys, if you're not vaccinated and all of a sudden an outbreak happens and then you cost yourself a game check and then the other team's going to get a game check cost with a forfeit, we don't want to do that. But if you guys don't want to get vaccinated, that potential is going to be there. They did everything possible as a private entity, Booger, to your point, to make sure that they were not going to be responsible when it comes to the slippery slope. Now, I don't believe it's going to divide a locker room, but I do believe this. There are going to be some serious conversations. For example, if you're playing on the offensive line, and you know the person next to you is unvaccinated, and you're vaccinated, but you have somebody back home that could be in a health compromised situation, all of a sudden you got to gauge, okay, how much contact am I actually going to have with this person? And you need that contact on the offensive line or playing defense. So that's why I believe where those interesting conversations are going to happen, because we're social animals when it comes to human beings. And NFL is the biggest social animal situation compared to all sports, in my opinion. We have so many different players in the locker room coming from different backgrounds, et cetera, et cetera. So if these conversations are going to happen, whatever information somebody's either receiving or interpreting, that's when the conversations get really interesting, because you're right, Booger, and you're right, Sam. It is a personal choice. No one should make anybody do what they don't want to do. If I have my way, I want all players to be vaccinated because I want all of them to be safe, and I want their families to be safe. And the more vaccinations that we have there that can do that, the better it's going to be to try to eradicate this pandemic or at least slow it down. But I also know I would never tell a grown man or a grown woman what to do. And if you make that personal choice, then you got to take everything that comes with it. And that's what the NFL did, saying, hey, players, we're not going to do this. We're going to let you guys take care of it. So they've taken an uncomfortable situation and made it even potentially more uncomfortable depending on the locker room, depending on the personnel, and depending on personal beliefs. So I don't believe it's going to divide a locker room. But there are going to be a lot of interesting conversations depending on what kind of team you have or what kind of beliefs are going to be there, no matter what kind of team is going to be in this situation.
Sam, let me ask you this, and speak for yourself, Freddie, because I'm an antisocial animal. I just want to ask you this, being a part of the NFLPA, were there ever talks potentially of the NFL mandating it to players? Was that even on the table?
Yeah, there were definitely talks. Here's the deal. If the NFL could mandate it to players, if the NFL could mandate that players get vaccinated, they would. But at this point, they don't have that opportunity or that option. They mandated that their coaches get vaccinated. They mandated that the staff get vaccinated. Anyone who works on an NFL team, if you want to be back in the building, You work for that team, you got to get vaccinated. But the players, they can't mandate that. So that's why you're seeing it's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers, this public pressure to try and put pressure on players. And so, yes, you can't tell a grown man what to do. And yes, the statistics show that, yeah, vaccines work. So, like, let's let that be known. Vaccines work. But also, the players should have a choice. You talk about going through hell last year. Well, you went through hell last year. You went through a tough time putting on masks as a player. Not talking about outside of the locker room. Simply inside the locker room, wearing your mask, social distancing. You did that last year. I just want the players to understand that if you choose not to get the vaccine, you'll be choosing to do that again.
But the issue that I have, Acho, is then in, well, why are the players complaining? I mean, we've seen Matthew Judon, we saw DeAndre Hopkins. If the players already know this, then why are they going to social media to complain about the choices that they had last year? It seems like they got the same ones this year. Why are they complaining then?
Well, Booger, you're right. Players don't know that. And so that's the great job that the NFL has done. The NFL is putting all this new pressure. Remember the air quotes I put in, these new rules. Many of these rules aren't new. Right. So sometimes things get convoluted and confused. No, the fact of the matter is the rules will be what they were last year. Now, what the NFL is proposing or purporting in so many ways is saying, well, hey, if a breakout happens among unvaccinated players, that team that caused the breakout will lose their revenue. That game will be canceled. But here's the deal. Let's just be real for a second. There were the NFL made $16 billion last year. That was a projected revenue before the pandemic. Do we really think the NFL is about to cancel a game? Do we really think the NFL is going to not reschedule? I mean, come on. Last year, in the middle of a pandemic, with no vaccine, the NFL found a way to play games. NFL is not about to cancel a game when you're making $16 billion. They'll find a way to reschedule, but all we're seeing now is public pressure. The truth is, you'll have the same opportunities and options you had last year. The game's going to be played.
You know, the thing that I would add to that, Acho, is this. I think that the NFLPA, D. Smith, and everyone around, they have to do a better job. To your point, if these are old rules, talk to your players, educate them about what's going on. Because what's happening is, from a perceptional standpoint, as a former player, and I think everyone else sees this too, when you see the NFL's mandate come out, then you see the players' instant reaction on social media. Now that leads, that's why we're talking about this, because we saw the reaction, we saw the coaches' reaction, we saw everyone. To me, they need to educate the players about what's going on. I think that's where the ball has been dropped. The NFL is doing what they're going to do. Guess what? We're going to play these games regardless. You may not get paid, but we've already got our TV money. Mm-hmm. Okay, these TV deals have been negotiated, so we got our bread. Now, the NFLPA has to do a better job of educating the players about what's going on to make sure, hey, guys, these aren't new rules. These rules have been there. I think that's where the ball has been dropped, and I think D. Smith and his crew has to do a better job with that.
Well, to your point, Booger and Sam, then the players have to educate themselves as well, because you can have the education, but if you're not receiving that information like you're supposed to, then you're going to have people speaking on social media. For example, Leonard Fournette said he wanted to know more about the vaccine and COVID-19. I said, bro, you had 16, 17 months. What more do you need to know about the vaccine and COVID-19 from that standpoint? It's been all over the news. So unless you've been under a rock for 17 months, you got enough information when it comes to this. But also think about this, guys. Can you imagine if the coaches had a union? What kind of conversation we would be having? Because at least the players have the NFL Players Association. So the union's going to stand behind them as best they can. Can you imagine the coaches in the NFL had a union? This would be a whole different conversation, because I guarantee you there are plenty of coaches, not just the two that got dismissed from Minnesota and New England, but there are plenty of other coaches that are only taking the vaccine because they've been ordered to do it by the National Football League, and the two guys that didn't want to do it are now no longer having jobs in the NFL. Can you imagine what this conversation would sound like, Booger and Sam, if the coaches had a union? It would be all you know what going on in the National Football League, because if the players don't want to do it, we know how stubborn coaches are if they don't want to do something. So if you're trying to force coaches to do something, I can't even imagine what this narrative would sound like if the coach had a union like the National Football League and the Players Association have theirs.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh, hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Okay, a lot of info here. Deshaun Watson reported to training camp Sunday in order to avoid a $50,000 daily fine, a source telling Ed Warder. Now, under the NFL's new collective bargaining agreement, teams can no longer forgive fines, and Watson would have been fined $50,000 for every day he was absent from camp. Watson still wants to be traded by the Texans, a stance that has remained unchanged since the start of the offseason. Watson first asked to be traded in January after the Texans hired Nick Caserio as their GM. Now, less than 2 months later, the first of 23 lawsuits filed against Watson. The now 22 active lawsuits allege sexual assault and inappropriate behavior against the Texans quarterback. Since the lawsuits were filed, new head coach David Culley has largely avoided addressing the allegations against Watson, other than referencing a letter sent by Texans ownership to season ticket holders in April that said, "We want to assure you that we take these allegations very seriously." The Texans have three other quarterbacks on their roster: Tyrod Taylor, Davis Mills, and Jeff Driskel. Our Chris Mortensen tweeting this: "For Deshaun Watson, the Texans price has been some combination of five high draft picks and starting caliber players per two league executives." Freddie, I want to start with you on this. Is Watson showing up a distraction to this team considering all the allegations?
No, because they've been the Houston distraction since they had that lead against the Kansas City Chiefs. So this is just another latest involving what I believe is the worst run organization in professional sports, and not just in the National Football League. And it didn't seem like it was that long ago that this team was a playoff football team, and everything has unraveled on and off the football field. So no, he's not a distraction, because this has been nothing but a distraction franchise, a disorganized franchise, ever since they had that 24-0 lead in the Kansas City Chiefs in a divisional playoff round in the AFC in the 2019 season. So this just adds to the latest involving this organization that just can't seem to get it together. And I pity poor David Culley in this situation, because he has waited a long time for an NFL coaching job. He finally gets to be an NFL head coach, and this is the team, this is the organization that he's a part of. Now, he took the job because he wanted to, and I don't blame him. But come on now, a distraction? This is just the latest in distractions regarding that organization, as bad as the Houston Texans have been.
Yeah, if anything's a distraction to this team, it's trading DeAndre Hopkins, your star wide receiver. That's a distraction to the team. It's having your owner in 2017, Bob McNair, refer to the social justice conversation as inmates running the prison. That's a distraction to the team. It's firing Bill O'Brien 4 games into naming him your general manager as well as head coach. That's a distraction to the team. It's hiring a search firm and spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to find a new GM just to cast that all aside and to pick your guy. That's a distraction to the team. Deshaun Watson showing up to training camp is not a distraction to the team. Cal McNair, the one who's running the team, he's the distraction to the team. And so, no, Deshaun Watson showing up is not a distraction. He's showing up. What did Marshawn Lynch say a couple years ago? "I'm just here so I don't get fined." He's showing up so he doesn't get fined. J.J. Watt is gone. We talked about DeAndre Hopkins is gone. We talked about Kenny Stills, Will Fuller. The list goes on and on. All their great players are gone, and Deshaun Watson wants to be gone. So it's not a distraction by any means, Deshaun Watson showing up to training camp.
Well, I'm not sure which English dictionary you guys read. You know, last time I looked at Webster's and understood what a distraction was, yes, this is a classic distraction. It's a guy that's going to show up, and his attention or his presence is going to take someone's focus off of what they should or should not be doing. Either way, because Deshaun Watson, let's understand what it is. Regardless of how you think his situation has played out, he has asked the organization, "Hey, can you trade me? I do not want to be here." He's talked to David Culley. "I do not want to play for you. Nothing against you, coach. I know you're a great man. Hopefully you're going to be a great coach. I don't want to play for you." Secondly, he has 22 lawsuits, civil lawsuits pending against him. So anywhere he walks, not only in the Houston Texans facility, anywhere he goes, he is going to garner eyeballs. He's going to garner attention. People are going to look at him. People are going to whisper. People are going to answer questions. Even if he doesn't show up on the practice field, the media is going to wonder where he's in the building. Where is he at? What's going on? The definition of a distraction is when I'm taking the attention or the focus off of what it should be on. Something is distracting you. Something has your attention. Deshaun Watson is going to do that whether we like it or not, guys. I hope they trade him. I think he deserves to be traded. He is one of the bright young stars in the National Football League. From a football standpoint, off the field, I have no idea what went on. I'm not trying to play a detective or a lawyer on television. I'm not even going to go down that road. I just know as a football player, he's a top five quarterback in football. He's one of the bright young stars we've seen in a long time. And in a league, when we talk about a quarterback that can be as vital as a threat, as a passer, as he can as a runner, is there a better combination in this league of that, of passing and running, than Deshaun Watson? So, yes, his presence is going to distract you for a lot of different reasons. And it's also distracting other teams, okay? Denver and Miami are also looking down into Houston, seeing what's going on, too. So it's not just a distraction in the organization. It's a distraction around the entire sports world, mainly the National Football League.
Yeah, Hold on. Let me just say this really quickly, because these allegations are very serious when we're talking about sexual assault in 22 different women. So if these are true, we will not even be having these conversations. I just want to make that clear to everyone at home. And he shouldn't even be on the football field. Sure. Go ahead, Freddie.
Yeah, here's the deal with that, Molly. But to your point, he would be a distraction when he was not there. If he decided to show up at training camp or not, he was still going to be a distraction because everybody would be talking about Deshaun Watson. That's why I said that this is not a distraction, because it's a constant distraction no matter whether he was going to be there or not going to be there. And I don't want to say anything in terms of the Houston Texans brought this on himself, whatever like that. We still don't have a resolution, Molly, to your point about the civil lawsuits that are out there against Deshaun Watson, although it got quiet really quickly. So we don't know what kind of settlement could be out there, whatever that's going to be. We don't know what that crystal ball is going to say. But this has been a constant distraction, whether he's going to show up there or not show up there, mainly because this situation has still not been resolved involving whatever actions applied to him off the football field.
Yeah, and I'll just
Booker, I got to give you some credit. I got to give Booker some credit. I looked up distraction myself, and it says a noun, a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. And so, yes, according to your Webster's Merriam definition, it is a distraction. But to the team that's already distracted by so much else, this team is distracted by everything else. It's definitely a distraction. And yes, these allegations, let's be real, they are very serious. There's so much that we don't know. And so we're talking about on the football field, but off the football field, there are serious allegations that no one knows what's going to happen with those.
Absolutely. And apparently, if a trade happens again, Chris Mortensen saying five high draft picks are starting players.